The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then that righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked or ill or in prison, and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' These will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. As we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, this may seem like a strange gospel reading. I'm sure it references Christ sitting on the throne and judging us at the end of time, but he doesn't sound like very much of a king. Just maybe like a judge or someone that gets to decide people's future. He doesn't sound like somebody that has great authority or that's kind of guiding us into a better life. But the reason that we use this reading on the celebration of Christ the King is because Christ's kingship is different. It's not one of authority. It's not one that can just be in charge and tax people or set laws that will guide us and rule us. That his kingdom is a kingdom of love. True love, not just love for those that we agree with and that we are kind of bound to by love or other connections, like our family or things like that. Instead, his is a love that is present everywhere, at all times and in all places. So this gospel reading shows us that we are meant to be the ones that take his love into those places, to those that are hungry, thirsty, naked, those that need to be visited and cared for in prison, or that are sick. That in many ways, this gospel isn't just to care for the physical needs of the people around us, although it is telling us to do that. I think it's showing us that our life of faith has to make a real, tangible difference in our lives. It's not just something kind of ethereal. It's not just something mental that we say we have this faith in Jesus and this faith in God. But Jesus is saying that faith and love you have for God the Father should actually manifest itself in the way that you live in the physical world. And that there's an urgency to care for those needs of those around you. I think that's how Mother Teresa read this passage. It was known to be one of her favorites, and whenever someone would ask her why she cared for the poor and the dying in Calcutta, she would simply raise her five small fingers and she would say, "You did it for me. You did it for me." And she would reference this passage precisely in Matthew chapter 25 and say, "The things that we do for the least among us are the things that we do for Christ himself." So she saw that as a way that she could love Jesus in the world around her. I think it's what made her such a joyful, such a countercultural figure in her day, was that she showed that love in places that we wouldn't even think of going. And yet she said, if Christ is my king, then it actually has to make a difference in my physical world. Not just that I go off and pray with him, which she did every single day. Not just to have a great and deep, intimate relationship with him personally, but actually to make sure that that actually kind of spills over into the way I treat others. Because I think we hear this passage and we think that Jesus is just kind of setting the bar for our Christian life, that at the end we need to kind of do enough good stuff to clear his standard. But I don't think that's what Mother Teresa and many of the saints hear when they read this passage. Instead, they hear an urgency that Jesus is giving his disciples. Remember, this is as Jesus is getting ready to go into Jerusalem, getting ready for his death and resurrection and ascension. And I think he's telling the disciples, soon he is going to be gone. He's not going to be able to clothe the naked and feed the hungry and give drink to the thirsty. He will not be able to heal those that are sick or take care of those in prison, at least as he has when he was physically on earth. So in a way, he's handing off that mission to them. He's saying, if somebody's going to do it, if there's going to be a real physical presence of God in the world, it's going to have to be you guys that do it. And you can't see someone hungry or thirsty and think, well, you know, I think somebody else will take care of that. Or, you know, actually, when I get around to it and I've got a little extra, then okay, I'll give some for those in need. I think the disciples and so many saints like Mother Teresa heard this gospel passage and they said, there's an urgency for me to do what I can. Maybe not to fix all those systemic problems and make everything perfect, but when I notice a need and I can do something about it, I shouldn't haste. I shouldn't wait another moment. Instead, be ready to say yes and love them as Christ has loved me. So this gospel passage is meant to give us an urgency in caring for the poor and the needy. But I think it also was meant for the disciples to help them realize the gift that they had already been given. Because a few chapters before this in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus sends out the 72 disciples in pairs going into different towns and villages. And he sends them, it says, with no money sack, with no second tunic, with really nothing to provide for themselves. He says, go into these places where you probably don't know anyone and ask for a place to stay. And whoever gives even a cup of water to these little ones, know that I am with him, that gift is from my heavenly Father. It's important that in this passage, the little ones are the poor and needy we encounter in the world around us. But originally, earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, the little ones were the disciples of Jesus. He's at the mount in a very vulnerable position. Again, not knowing anybody, going to towns that they may be accepted or rejected. No place to stay, no extra food. They went and maybe had to beg or just had to rely on the generosity of the people around them. And then when they received those physical goods, when they were provided for by the people around them, they noticed that the Lord is their shepherd. They noticed that the Lord would provide for them. Yes, spiritually and all those important things, but also in their physical needs. That when the Lord is our shepherd, there is nothing we shall want. Side note, I really dislike that translation. I would rather it say, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall lack. Because we hear want and we think, so that means I shouldn't desire good things. That when I'm hungry, I shouldn't want some food. When I'm thirsty, I shouldn't want some drink. No, God made us to desire good things. But the point is that we will never lack what we need. He will always provide for us as a good shepherd. The disciples had learned that in the times that they went out to these other towns and villages. And so now as Jesus is preparing for his ascension, showing that he is king of all the universe, he sends the disciples out and he says, now I need you to do for other people what I have done for you. That when you notice their needs and you can provide even a little bit for them, do that to show the love of God for them. Show them that they can receive the thing that they haven't deserved or merited, and yet God wants to give them anyways. And in that way, like St. Teresa of Calcutta and so many holy ones before us, we can imitate the love of Christ. We can say it's not just about us doing good for the poor and caring for those that are less fortunate. Instead, we can see in them the image of God. Say, not just do it for a human being that I know, but to be able to echo her words that you did it to me, that we did it to Christ in the way we cared for the poor and the needy. So brothers and sisters, let us feel that same urgency of the gospel that Jesus gave to the disciples and to St. Teresa of Calcutta. We can see that we don't want to put off doing those good works of charity for another day until it's more convenient or till we have enough to go around. So that we can see that we're called to be the ones that care for them as Christ has cared for us. Just as he gave us beyond measure when we were in need. So too we can give away those physical things to those around us. That we can do it not just to help out a fellow human, our brothers and sisters, but that we can do it always in love of Christ, seeing his image in them and loving them as he has loved us.